Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Sorry about busting up the Dude Friday. And, you know, coming to work. Jason, you have to deal with me today. Is Jason there?
He doesn't have to deal with you if he doesn't talk to you.
That's a very good point. I suppose he's in control. I'm the captain now, as they say. Jason?
Hi.
Hi! Good to hear from you. Good to chat with you. I want to start with Elton Jenkins this morning. Elton Jenkins putting out...
Having to talk to you, but I missed my... Apparently, I was muted, so I'm glad that you're here, Jennifer.
That's very nice of you to say.
Coming to work and ruining Dude Friday.
Ruining it, absolutely destroying it. Elton Jenkins, is this a Pro Bowl tweet? Poop getting weirder and weirder? Is this about him not making the Pro Bowl? What do you think?
I don't know. That's the smart thing about doing a tweet like that is that you can claim that it's, you know, just about... I don't know, the president or whatever it might be.
Could literally be about poop, right?
Yeah, like,
could
have looked down
one
day.
Does he have kids at home?
Look down one day and been like, man, just getting weirder and weirder.
I feel like that's what we'd get if Chewy ever got on Twitter.
Bowel movement updates?
I didn't have corn.
Yeah, exactly.
Coffee worked.
I don't remember having corn.
Jason, Rashawn Gary, what the hell? I heard what Halfley said. Six sacks.
What the hell?
You see, he brought up the run game, but the measure for the run game is tackles for loss, and he had 8.
Yeah, and I think that includes sacks, right? That's not a separate statistic. Like,
oh, it isn't?
Count as tackle. No,
I think it's a different one, Jason, because if I look at Aiden Hutchinson's stats, he has 7.5 sacks, but only 7 tackles for a loss.
Okay, because I know quarterback hits, they include sacks, which doesn't make sense to me either. At least, maybe not Pro Football Focus, but certainly in the box score that they hand out after the game. I was surprised, quite frankly. I think it was pretty clear Jeff Halfley was surprised. And even Rashawn Gary himself said he was surprised. So that tells you all you need to know. You voted for Pro Bowlers. You guys don't know anything more than the fans do, right? You guys don't really try very hard when it comes to being accurate in your balloting.
We did, Jason, but we only voted for guys that we went up against. So I'm not voting for an interior lineman most times. I'm not voting for corners. I'm voting for safeties, linebackers, DNs.
Right, but then it's one vote, isn't it? Like, you guys, at least that's how it was last time I talked to a player about the process. It's you guys submit as a team, then, your one ballot. And you utilize your expertise and others. And then, so then you don't vote. Let's say you didn't play Rashawn Gary. You wouldn't have voted for him?
I can't really remember. I agree, Jason. It was the one tight end, the tight end room that submitted one ballot. So it wasn't 4 different ballots.
But
we would look at stats. I mean, let's say we didn't play San Francisco and Lee Woodall had 16 sacks that year. Obviously, we're voting for him.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously, you have to vote for Rashawn Gary when he's got 6.5 sacks.
But didn't Gabe give a pretty good explanation for this yesterday, guys? Gabe, when you were talking about the 4-3 versus the 3-4?
I think he ended up getting in because he's not an outside linebacker, and the way the Pro Bowl doesn't, it's not like they vote for edge guys, because you take a look at the edges up in Minnesota who have a bunch of sacks, they're in the Pro Bowl, I think that because he's a 4-3, if he was not a 4-3 defensive end, the Packers were still a 3-4, I don't think he gets in.
So who else would have been – no, you did – I agree with Jen. You did a good job of explaining that. Now, that said, what other defensive ends – so Joey Bosa – or Nick Bosa
– he's in, though, right?
– starter.
Yep. Yeah.
So who who are the alternates? Do we know if those guys got snubbed in favor of Rashawn Gary? Or
I mean, probably.
Even worse?
I mean, probably, Jason. The guy's got 6.5 sacks. He's tied for 42nd in the league.
Well, he's top 50.
Yeah. You know, hey, when you're right, I guess, Jason.
Jason, the only reason this bothers me is because they're just going to roll the D-line back next year. They're just going to roll it back. They're going to roll it back.
I don't think Rashawn Gary being a Pro Bowler is the metric that Jeff Hafley is using to determine whether or not these players are good enough to be back. Like, I think everybody knows, too, that you have to upgrade it at that line, on the defensive line. I don't know if it means upgrading Rashawn Gary, but I think they know that they have to devote assets to that position. And I don't think that him making the Pro Bowl goes, oh, you know what? Actually, we thought we did, but it turns out, I guess we're pretty good at that position. We don't have to. I just don't think that's going to affect it.
I would take the bet that they don't do a thing. I'll take that all day long.
In support of Jen, the Packers did not re-sign Jeff Saturday after he was elected to the Pro Bowl, after he'd been benched in favor of Evan Dietrich Smith. He wasn't even the starting center for the Packers, much less for the NFC. So here's the thing. Like, what is Jeff Hafley supposed to say?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, no, I agree.
Like, Jeff Hafley could get up there and say, I love Rashawn. You know, he's gone through kind of a tough transition with this shift from the 3-4 to the 4-3. I think he's playing better, but oh my God, are you kidding me? He doesn't belong in the Pro Bowl. I should be in the Pro Bowl before him. Like, he's not going to say that. So I think you guys are all right. Rashawn Gary's not going anywhere, right? And
correct.
They certainly believe that he will evolve in this system and be more productive a year from now. Whether or not that's true, I'm not sure, but you could even tell by Hafley, like, he had a dance around the number, and he talked about how, you know, he's doing things that allow other guys to get sacks. Well, okay, there's still not that many other guys getting sacks either, unless you're playing Seattle or Tennessee. So I get it, but, you know, good for Rashawn, but I think the better story is the fact that two guys whose teams did not think they were valuable at the positions they played came in and were field-tilting players on each side of the ball in Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. I mean, those guys, again, they're not Charles Woodson, they're not Reggie White, but they have both been transformative, and it's great to see them get what they deserve.
Jason, as far as the game on Sunday, it seems the Packers are kind of doing a half-and-half thing where, yeah, guys are going to play. If we're banged up, you're not going to. But even so, Josh Jacobs is saying he's not expecting a lot of carries. Is this a game where we potentially see guys like Malik Willis, Bo Melton, and guys like that playing in the second half?
Could be. In fairness to Josh Jacobs, some knucklehead asked him if he can handle 30 carries on Sunday. And his answer was, I don't think I'm going to get 30 carries. That said, yeah, look, I think what Matt LaFleur did a better job of explaining yesterday than he did on Wednesday is that what he regrets about 21 was that he told all the starters that they were only going to play a half against Detroit in Detroit. And they played poorly, right? And then Love went in and they kind of rallied. I think the final was 37-30. And he felt like playing that way left a bad taste in his mouth, and it should. Like they, and then what I said to LaFleur after that was, yeah, but you don't really think you lost to the 49ers because of the way you handled the finale. And he said, no, but, and then he went on to explain it. So I think he felt like his biggest mistake was telling those guys in advance, hey, you're going to play the first half. So he has not done that this time. He wanted them preparing as if they're going to play the entire game. And then when he pulls them, they will have not known when it was coming. So I think that was really his regret from that, because the last 2 years, they haven't been in a situation like this. The fact of the matter is that they did not play well, and he felt they were sloppy in Minnesota. So they need to play crisp football for their head coach to feel better about where they're at going into the postseason.
And get off
and
to
when Malik Willis takes over and Emmanuel Wilson takes over, etc., I think then it'll be they don't really care what happens from there.
And get off to a fast start is what I was going to say, Jason. I had not seen it done cumulatively. I had obviously watched each of these games independently, but there was a list online of the halftime scores of the games for the Packers against the Vikings and the Lions this season. 28-7 week 4, 17-3 week 9, 17-7 week 14, 13-3 week 17. And it goes without saying that the Packers were on the low end of those scores each and every time. So 7 points, 3 points, 7 points, 3 points. I'd like to see the Packers go out there and score on every drive, preferably against this Bears team, although I know that's probably not likely, but as many drives as possible to show that they have the capability of starting fast, if for no other reason, so that they believe they can do that going into a postseason run.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think they did have games where they started fast, right? I mean, it was only against bad teams. And the good news is the Bears are a bad team. So they may start fast on Sunday. What the issue is I think they've been mathematically eliminated already, so they don't get to play the Bears in the first round of the playoffs. So can they get off to a fast start in Philadelphia if that's where they end up going? The numbers that you gave would indicate more likely no, they can't. And if they can, they give themselves a better chance. So they're not mounting these furious late comebacks that come up short every time.
But this could change, Jason, based on, let's say that Dallas is up by 14 at halftime. They might find themselves playing the whole game.
Right. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, Matt LaFleur wanted to make sure that he was preparing these guys for that possibility. I mean, you know, is that a likely scenario? I mean, Mike McCarthy, like, he's playing with guys that live in the neighboring Frisco area that live by the Star at this point, right? I mean, he's bringing guys that they've shut down a bunch of their best players. Like, I love the fact that his guys played for him to beat Tampa in primetime, but I don't think that they can replicate that. And Dan Quinn has been very clear that they are fighting to succeed. They want no part of having to play Philly in the first round, and I don't blame them. So, yes, it is certainly possible that by some act of God, Cooper Rush turns into Tom Brady, and they're in the third quarter up 14 on the Commanders, and Matt LaFleur is like, all right, let's go for the jugular here because we got a shot of avoiding the Eagles. But I don't think that's a likely scenario.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, goodbye, dudes and dudettes. Have a good day. Take care. Be good.